Now the Federal Drive with Tom Temin.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on this Friday, December 9th, 2016, 5 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Temin. Our producers are Lauren Larson and Eric White, our web editors Jory Heckman and Michael O'Connell. Coming up in this hour of the Federal Drive, interns for this agency might find themselves in the middle of an active shooter situation, maybe even firing a few rounds themselves. Plus, when it comes to approving and announcing generic drugs, nearly everyone thinks the FDA fumbles the football. Those stories and much more ahead during this hour of the Federal Drive. But first, shared services have hit a brick wall. Office of Management and Budget and General Services Administration leaders say without new funding, it could take decades to move agencies off their individual legacy back office systems and onto new shared platforms. Well, this is why the United Shared Services Management Office at GSA is updating its vision. Executive Director Beth Angerman tells Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about this new 10-year approach and how it's going to work, and how it gives agencies a fresh opportunity to modernize financial, human resources, and other systems.
I think the vision really is a recognition of the lessons that we've learned over the many years that we've been working to do this successfully as a government. I think the key message is that we do not believe that one size fits all, especially as we look to large cabinet-level agencies moving to shared services. We need to reduce the risk of the legacy IT systems, right? And that includes the legacy IT systems that are currently run by shared service providers today. So we're making a statement today that says that we are moving administrative systems to software as a service, which really is an opportunity for industry and the software vendors in industry to think about how they would deliver software as a service, which is very different than what the government has been doing in the last many decades around how we actually use systems to support these mission support functions. It's very similar to how we file our taxes, right? Every year when you log in to that website, you get the most recent tax code rules, you get the most recent innovation, and you get the best technology. That's the type of scenario we want to set up for how we actually, as a government, buy systems going forward. That then forces us to think differently about how we deliver services. And we believe that in the future vision, we need to create more opportunity for the distinction between the industry delivering us software as a service, federal providers being able to use their skills and the people that they have to be able to have economies of scale and economies of skill, and then opportunities for industry to compete with that, right, so that we really can get the best cost for the consumer.
There was never a feeling that it was a one-size-fits-all. The idea was always agencies should look at the providers, make an educated decision, and then go with the provider that made the most sense. Over the last 18 months, so it's been a big push for public sector providers. Is the difference here then this idea that the private sector role maybe is growing a little bit, but you're not just buying a system, you're buying a service?
I think that's exactly on point. I think we're buying service. We can now talk about technology as buying a service. We aren't buying the license anymore. Hopefully we'll be thinking with partnering with industry to buy what we actually use, more of a utility. And it's also kind of holding the government responsible for the fact that we're never going to really achieve economies of scale, like real economies of scale, if we don't agree on what we are commonly buying. Right? You have to turn it into a utility, and we haven't done that yet. And so, yeah, having a shared service provider that has to accommodate everyone's needs isn't going to actually add the benefit that we're looking for. So the current model, we're going to hit a brick wall very soon. If we shift to the future vision and we put the burden of defining what is common on the government, then we have all sorts of new opportunities on how we can deliver that.
How did this new vision come about? Was this part of the plan, if you will, from 18, 24 months ago when the USSM started to get going? And before that, the first memo from OMB talking about shared services and financial management? Or did you guys maybe have a bit of an aha moment as cloud became kind of more acceptable as you saw changes in the commercial market? Where did this vision originate from?
So we knew that one of the biggest missing pieces to this shared service concept was that we weren't all working toward the same goal. And that was one of the reasons we stood up USSM, was that FMLOB, a lot of progress made, had a different approach to building a marketplace than HRLOB did. We didn't even have managing partners for some of these other administrative functions, and it was just disjointed and not as organized as we were hoping that we would be so that we could have permanency with this initiative. So we stood up USSM, and when they wrote M1611, they charged USSM with delivering a vision and a concept of operations for the future. And so we're really meeting the requirement within that policy. And I think it's really evolved over time. Their aha moments really have been, I think, two. One is funding. Everyone agrees in theory that this is the right thing to do, but there's less of recognition that you still have to pay to get there. And you have to make the investment to realize the long-term benefits. And it's really difficult, especially in times like now, where we want to make the investment on mission. This model helps us think differently about how we can make those investments and how we can really partner with industry. Because everyone's been saying for a long time, we need to think more strategically about how industry can introduce capital. And this gives us now the way, the door opens now and opportunities for us to do that. In addition to the funding challenge, I would say it's also the standardization conversation, which is how we just aren't going to be able to ever recognize that the economies if we don't standardize what we need.
We heard from David Vargas at OPM regarding the HRLOB from the financial perspective, and I know you're not the main managing partner for FMLOB, but is that finance, the standardization work, close to being done? Have you gone through 12 of the 15 categories or whatever number that is? How close are you to standardization? Because I know the funding model you and I have talked about many times, that's a huge hill to climb.
The Treasury Department, right, the FIT office, is the managing partner for the FMLOB. They are working collaboratively with my office and with the HRLOB and the other managing partners to have a consistent way. That's the Federal Integrated Business Framework that Dave and I talked about today. We are now consistently documenting our requirements through the form of really taking that whole approach of Agile, through the use of user stories, through defining performance metrics, the data exchange standards. And once we have that entire context, we can then start to move forward with telling the industry, this is what we want you to build, right? This, and then we're going to have to figure out how we pay for it. But that gives us this new opportunity. And I know FIT is working very closely, and we are all working on a timeline that we're going to be rolling out in the next few months.
One of the things about the subscription-based model is you still need funding. You may not need as much upfront funding, but you need funding to get a subscription, right? So whether it's Spotify or Netflix or whatever, there's still that monthly fee. And if you're already spending your money on something else, and then all of a sudden you want to add more money, does USSM eventually plan to put out some kind of guidance or advice or playbook or whatever we're going to call it nowadays on how the subscription model could work, may work, because there's still a money issue?
I hope that soon we can do that. I need to learn more. I don't know that anyone's an expert in how we move from a more traditional license model into a subscription service, right? It's not just a flip of the switch, and we need to be able to ensure that investments that we've made to date are leveraged for the future. And so I want to work with really closely with industry to figure out exactly how this works and also what the government needs to do to make software as a service be effective for the government. Change management becomes really important. You know, new legislation, new requirements, things that impact what we do in these systems and how we deliver this really needs to be coordinated, and the managing partners will be doing that. But that all really contributes to how not only the procurement strategy for this, but the operating model.
3-6 months from now, obviously there's going to be a change in administration. Putting that aside for a second, assuming that things move along as you expect them to or you plan them to, what should the change should agencies look for, or what should vendors also look for over the next 3, 6, 9 months from your office regarding this new vision?
So obviously we're in a bit of a wait and see until we figure out what the priorities of the next administration will be. I'm excited about the fact that we've given them something to really chew on, right, and figure out how they want to position this in the future. So hopefully that first, if and foremost. But secondly, we aren't going to stop. The work that the managing partners are doing to standardize the requirements is full speed ahead. So we'll be rolling out a schedule for, and it won't be the full bang, right? It will be like parts and pieces of, like Dave mentioned, the human capital process that we'll be working toward. And then we're going to be, you know, asking a lot of questions of industry so that we can figure out how this model should ideally work for the federal government.
Beth Engerman is the executive director of the Unified Shared Services Management Office at GSA. You can learn more about the USSM's new vision for shared services at federalnewsradio.com. Still to come on Federal News Radio, interns for this agency might find themselves in the middle of an active shooter situation, maybe even firing a few rounds off themselves. But first, when it comes to approving and announcing generic drugs, nearly everyone thinks the FDA fumbles the football. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.